Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Preached a message here a few Sundays ago, about willingly or responsibility, which is better. There's an aspect of related to that that I didn't touch on very much, and I felt compelled to do so this afternoon. These things are nothing new, but we do receive the teaching and instruction and preaching from our Lord, as the Scripture says in the Old Testament, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The way it is that the Lord works with us is indeed that way. We've got this, as we mentioned in those messages, we've got this old man and new man, and referred to what Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, says and writes in 1 Corinthians 9:17. Pardon me, speaking about his ministry, his calling of the Lord. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. And so his position is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's not an option not to do it, not to proceed with what our Lord has called us to do. But we do have, I believe he speaks about this warfare that's at hand, and it's certainly better for us to have things in right order in our lives, our hearts, our minds, our soul, if you will, have things in right order, and that we may serve our Lord willingly. All right? Because with willingness, I believe indeed comes joy. But he said, if I do it against my will, and we evaluated about who that is, it's certainly not the new man. It's the old man that is he is against. If I do this thing against my will, well, I do so because I've been given a stewardship. I've got a responsibility. And you and I, as children of God, have a responsibility. We touched on this verse, this passage here in Romans 12. We want to start off this message this afternoon with this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I want you to think about that. I've not seen this in this light. You think about what happens to a sacrifice. A sacrifice, according to the Mosaic law, the sacrificial ceremonial law, a sacrifice was generally killed. Okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is in the New Testament. This is being written to churches. This is written to the Lord's people in the church age, members of, in particular, the church at Rome, and members of the Lord's churches in general. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So, there's going to be a sacrifice, and there's going to be some death involved. But he says living. Go ahead and live. Let it be in life, but let there be a sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Oh, now, I can't be acceptable unto God, Brother Jim. Well, the Scripture says you can be. We're not talking about sinners without salvation. We're talking about sinners that have been saved. We've got the Spirit of God living within. We've got the capacity, the calling, the provision to be acceptable unto God. Will we? Will we be? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. So it's speaking about the world, the influence. Let's say the temptation of the world, the draw of the world. Be not conformed, don't be molded to the shape of the world, but be ye transformed, changed, metamorphosis is the Greek word there. Be metamorphosed, like a caterpillar goes into being a butterfly. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so that mind is part of that old man. But in there is the new man somewhere. The new man's in there too, okay, having an effect. Because we're not separate beings. We're one being with an old and a new nature within, okay? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proving what the will of the Lord is in our own lives. Well, I want to preach a message this afternoon that I've entitled, It Takes the Old Man to Feed the New. It takes the old man to feed the new. I want you to chew on that for a while. Think about that. It takes the old man to feed the new. Am I able to come to church services without my old man? You know what? The new man is dependent on this old man to get him there. The new man is dependent on the old man to not go to sleep. I know we're challenged. Man, you have sweet potato pie and blackberry cobbler, and you have peach cobbler and other. I mean, it's hard. I'm up here about to break my jaw, and Brother Doug calls me out. And yeah, you know, what would it be if I fell asleep, you know? It'd be bad. It'd be a bad combo, wouldn't it? But I've sat there. I know what it's like. I understand. And it gets a little warmer in the afternoon. You've been fed good. But you know what? The new man won't hear anything if the old man, just as an example, the new man won't hear anything if the old man doesn't stay awake, right? It takes the old man to go and reach for the Bible rather than the tuner. You know what I'm talking about, the tuner? That's an old term. The tuner on the television. We used to do like this, right? Now we do like this, right? Make that thing work. You got the wrong remote, Dad. Oh. You know, it takes the old man to reach for the Bible, right? It takes the old man to take and open up the pages. It takes the old man to read the words. Takes part of that old man's mind to look for the sense and the account of what's going on in the Scriptures, the context, the words, the nouns, the verbs, the adverbs, all that stuff that I didn't do good at. It takes the old man, doesn't it? It takes the old man to study. Because if the old man doesn't go there, the old man doesn't do it, what's going to happen? There'll be no learning of the new man, will there? You think about that. If the old man doesn't get up and go to services, if the old man doesn't pull down the Bible, if the old man doesn't open up his mouth to sing and to praise God. So you know what? This old man really does have to be, we got to grab a hold of him. We got to grab a hold of him, don't we? And of course, we can only do so by the help of our Lord and the instruction of our Lord. Our brother writes here, a living sacrifice. Okay, take this old man and don't kill him. But sacrifice him to self and to what the world tempts us to go and to do and what is sensual, what's carnal, that the old man really likes. Put that to death and rather worship, serve God and feed and cater to the new man. It takes the old man to feed the new. Right? Right. See, Paul said, if I do this thing, to his calling, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Okay, so the old man, the old man's opinion, new man votes, old man votes, you know, and something else happens. Take away the old man's vote. Forget about the old man's vote, see? Forget about what the old man wants to do, and what does the Lord and the new man want to do? See, you hear? You hear? He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. You know, the attitude, the understanding of the way the Lord's working, what the Lord's called us to. Did Paul worry about his body? I mean, he ate. And he did seek medical care when he needed it. But if it was go lay down and take a rest or go preach, what did he do? He went and preached. Amen? I mean, that's the pattern that we see with our brother. If he ran into a group of folks that he had never been around before, did he withdraw himself from them because he was shy or bashful? Or did he engage to find out what they were all about so he might be what they are to them? Okay, you understand? He wasn't sinful, but to the Jews he became a Jew. To those without the law, not a law unto God. Those with the law is one with the law, right? The old man didn't have a vote. And he had struggles. We understand in the book of Romans, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death," right? What I want to do, I don't do. What I do, I don't want to do. I've got this thing written in my members, a law, the old man wants to serve the flesh and serve sin, and the new man wants to serve the Lord. I've got this conflict. He had it at least in heart, didn't he? And then there's even things that he said. I believe that when he was taken captive, he stirred up the Jews there in Jerusalem and was in the presence of the high priest and called to him a whited wall, referring to a sepulcher. But later on when he writes, I think he even has regret of that. He says, if I understand it right, he didn't know that he was the high priest, or he wouldn't have spoken ill of him, because it is to be to respect the authority that's at hand, even though that authority was wrong. So he had struggles. He had trouble and things that he dealt with, but he was blessed to be in subjection. In Romans chapter 8, I trust that maybe in this way of looking at it and considering things, it takes the old man to feed the new, that maybe these passages will ring clearer in our hearts and minds, and we'll be helped to understand. Yes, feet do hurt. Backs do hurt. Eyelids get heavy. Lord's blessed. You all are convicted to support the efforts of the church such that I don't have to work in a public job, right? We never used that before till we came here. But I can just give my attention to the work of the church and the ministry in that. I'm thankful for that. It's easy for me to come to services. I told you here a few weeks ago, I don't know what it'll be if I live 5 miles away. We'd probably be late every service for a month, you know, and they'd be waiting on me. But you come, and I know you know what that feels like. You work during the week, you work half the week, and work all day, and then you come to Wednesday night services. And then you work through the week, and then you come for Sunday. We have a long day on Sunday. We are going to hurt. We are going to be tired. We are going to have times we're going to be down in the dumps, right? Isn't that what we call it? We're down in the dumps. We're depressed. And so I don't feel like going. You know what? That's when we need to go the most. That's when we need to go the most. We'll have temptation from the world to do other things at service times. Just like Solomon. Solomon was an example to his people. And no doubt for years they said, well, the king did it. The pastor does it. How many times has that rung out? Well, the pastor does it. You know, and the people, the membership, justify what they do because the pastor does. But we need to always consider, what's the Lord want? What's the Lord want done? And so in Romans chapter 8, verse number 13, He says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Okay, that's putting some strong words on it, but that's the way that it is. The flesh, carnality, mortality equals sin. It's going to be sin. It's going to be base. It's going to be man, and it'll end up in death. So, if the mind wants to daydream about what you're going to do tonight, or what you're going to do, you and I are going to do tomorrow, or whatever, that's no good. It's better to be here and concentrate upon, not because I'm saying it, not because I'm preaching to you, but any of our brethren that teach, or the ladies that teach in the Sunday school classes, or in VBS, and or myself preaching. It's better to be here. And be here, not just physically here, but to be here mentally too. Not to be texting. You know, sometimes you all see me use my phone. I but honestly, if I'm doing something on my phone, it's relative to the service or something I'm trying to remember. Okay? I did text Brother Mark Wednesday during the service, but I sent to him an address for the brother down in Texas, the church down in Texas, okay? But yeah, we don't need to be doing something else. Sometimes things come up. My folks called me to let me know that they're home safe. That needs to be, okay? But the old man would want to watch a YouTube video during services. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just giving an example. But you know what? The new man and the Lord wants us to be here and worshiping Him and what's being said. The old man would say, "You've heard that before." Well, you know, you spend enough time around the Lord's church and teaching the Lord, reading the Bible yourself, in time, you will have heard most things before. You know what? We need it again. Might be something we forgot. Might be something we didn't catch. Have you ever done that? I've done. Read the scripture and read. I just did not know that Jesus healed in the temple at his triumphant entry. Well, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah, it is a big deal, because get the picture. He came in on the foal. He went in there and cleansed the temple. And then I think he was standing right there in the middle of that area, that court, that area where he cleansed the temple, and he stood there alone. And you know what? The people that were diseased and have ailments and then started coming to him, and he healed them. And the scripture says there in Matthew that the Pharisees, the religious leadership, they got all tore up because the children were crying, "Hosanna," in the temple. Isn't that great? I'd miss that. I'd miss that. I didn't have that in my heart to understand that that was the way it went. And it's a blessing to do so. It blessed my soul. Well, we got to remember, if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. It's dead. It sows nothing but dead things. But if, that's the word that's there, if you and I have before us the if, what will we do? If we don't, we can't blame it on the Lord. Don't blame it on the Lord's sovereignty. We've got before us, and if we're here, we've been given sense to hear the word of the Lord. And you know what? In our known failing in the flesh and inability and of ourselves, we've got prayer to go to our Lord to strengthen us and help us to do what's right. When I fail, it's me. When I succeed at being obedient to my Lord, it's of the Lord. There's no confusion with that. We live for Him and to Him because of Him. But if ye, through the Spirit, hear that, do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, the doing of the body. Because see, we got to keep him alive. The old man's got to be alive. We can't, we don't need to murder him, okay, physically. He must be alive, but he's got to be pinned down. Mortify his deeds. I hurt. I don't want to read. I hurt. I don't want to pray. I this, I that, or the other. I'm busy. I'm too busy. I got to do this. I got to do that. All those things that all of us face. We got to put those things down. Put those things in the right place. Many of those things we must do. We need to maintain the understanding and balance between needs and entertainment. We're blessed with a lot of entertainment. I enjoy entertainment. I enjoy getting together with folks and playing games. But we can't play games all the time. We've got to put everything in its right place. And we've got to deaden, we've got to kill off those deeds of the body. You know, if we do so, we'll live. We'll live unto our Lord. Listen, because as many, that word for in verse 14, because as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you have the Spirit within you? Do you have the Spirit within you to convict about when the body wants to do something else, the mind wants to do something else, think something else, but the new man knows better? Takes the old man to feed the new. takes the old man to feed the new. The Lord, the new man, has got to have power over the body to get him where the new man needs him. Because, you know, and scripture memorization is a good thing. It is. It's a good thing. But if the old man doesn't reach out to get the Bible, if the old man's excuse wins out, it won't be read. It won't be meditated upon. You know, that was just really really something for me to see it that way. It was a help to me to see it that way in this issue. See, I think that maybe sometimes we think that this is the old man and new man, they're kind of separated out here from each other, and they're kind of doing their own thing, and we're in the middle. No, we are here with the old man and the new man, but the old man has got to be pinned down for the new man to be advantaged in any way. Now, you think about the paraplegic, okay? The paraplegic can't move, but they do have their mind. They do have what they can request of those that are ministering to them and helping them. That they are in control when they have control of what's on the piece of equipment, the radio, the TV, the internet. You know what I'm saying? There's still things that are there. Well, what will we feed? Colossians chapter 3 speaks along this line, and Colossians is a book that does so. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify your body, your physical body. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, kill these things. The old man doesn't even get a suggestion about going this direction. Kill it off. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. That's what you've been saved from. You've been saved from that. Mortify that. So, well, if I don't commit the big sins, then I'm okay. Well, it's good to stay away from the public sins. But you know what? We need to work on all the rest too. And I think we're going to get to where that lies. The old man. The old man. In Romans chapter 6. Take a look here what this passage says. In Romans chapter 6. Takes the old man to feed the new. Romans chapter 6, verse number 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, our association with Christ, our identification with Christ, the necessity of us needing his gospel, I needed Christ to die for me, be buried for me, and raised from the dead for me. Okay? We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, speaking about the life that the Lord gives in so many respects, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. See, Christ was crucified, sinless. He was crucified for me, who am full of sin. Now, Christ has paid for my sins, but naturally, sin is all I know. You know what? I need to know and understand that this old man and this old flesh was crucified with Christ. I'm to be done with this. I need this to be here, okay? I need this to live upon this dirt ball until the Lord calls me out of here. But I need to see, I need to know and walk that this old body, it was crucified there with Christ. I'm no sacrifice. My body's no sacrifice. But the end of my will, and what this old man wants, and carnality, depravity, and sin, and the lust of the world, the desire of the world, and everything, it's pinned up there just like Christ was. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This old body of sin will ultimately be destroyed. It'll be destroyed by the Lord in death. I mean, sin taking its natural course on the flesh. But it's a blessing that that's the case, because had the Lord not taken the tree of life away, what a miserable existence we would have to live forever like this. That's what the Lord said at the beginning, wasn't it? Unless he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever, alienated from God. No, I'm not. I don't want to be alienated from God. If this old man pursues what he wants to do, what the world tempts him to do, and what's natural in this world, that is alienation from God. I don't want to be alienated from God. I need to see that this old thing has been crucified. When Christ was crucified, my will and what my flesh wants was crucified with him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. We don't need to listen to the old man anymore. You get hungry, or you need to eat. But that doesn't need to be all you do is eat, 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 eat. Here? We've got to take care of this flesh. But we don't need to just follow after the things of the flesh and the world and that which is against the Lord. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Speaking about the resurrection. The old man. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. We look here in verse number 20. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard of him, are you saved? And have been taught by him, have you learned? As the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. And so here we've got the introduction of something else. Not just what we do, conversation, or what's conversation? It's what we do, it's what we say, and it stems from what we think. Conversation is what we think, what we do, and what we say. And we put off that old way of thinking, those old pursuits. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. What he does, what his desires are, what he thinks is deceitful and sinful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the new man that's there. how the person is put together. You got the old carnal mind, and you got the soul, which is you, and you got the Spirit of God living within, and the Spirit of God's effect on the mind. Those good things that we learn and hold to and trust in our Lord and His Scripture. You know, we hide the Word of our heart, God of our heart, so we not sin against Him. See, the good Word of God and the instruction from the Lord, that's the good thing. That's what's supposed to be there. And what's supposed to be our motivator and our drive and our encouragement. But then that old junk of the world and our past and the temptation of the world that comes at us, that we're to be dead to. It's that is deceitful. What appeals to this old body is deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So look there. Put off, verse 22, the old man and his conversation, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speaking about our relationship in the church and in Christ. So we've got something to put off. And we've got something to put on. Do we put him off? Do we put him on? We have it to do. And we see here that it starts from within. in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, later in the chapter, and I don't know if I mentioned this verse in the other message, but I do so now. It's the same chapter that we see where the Apostle Paul talks about his ministry. Of course, he's explaining himself and telling to the church at Corinth his qualification, right, why he's qualified to deal with them and speak to them to the things that they need help with. And he talks about his ministry, and if he does this thing willingly, he's got a reward, but against his will, a dispensation, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto him. He's called to do it. He needs to do it whether he wants to or not. He needs to do it. We're seeing Ezekiel in that shape, aren't we? I'm not. It's not running Ezekiel down. It's just it's part of the honesty of the scripture. Ezekiel, at the beginning, Ezekiel seemingly wishes that he wasn't called by the Lord to what the Lord's called him to do. He went in the heat of his spirit. He was angry, seemingly, that the Lord had put this on him. And what a great burden. He could only bear the burden of prophesying against the nation, the captive nation, by the grace and the help of the Lord. It's the only way a man could bear that. And then he said, oh, they say of me, he's worried about what they think. He speaks in parables. He said, I'm a storyteller to them. I just talk to them in parables. But that's what the Lord had given him to give to them. And you know what? He did it. Now, I think his heart, the Lord's working on Brother Ezekiel as we go along. I think we're going to see that. It's kind of the same thing that Habakkuk said, Lord, what's going on? This place is going down the tubes. This place is being destroyed. When's it going to stop? When will your judgment upon us be over? We're just being destroyed. And then the Lord spoke to him about what he's going to do with the Chaldeans again and bringing them in and what they're going to do. You know what Habakkuk said then? It said, oh, the Lord's great. And the Lord's powerful. It doesn't matter if this whole place falls apart and burns down. I'm looking at the Lord. See that? So praise be to God. He brings us along, doesn't he? He knows our shape. He knows our condition. He knows our wrestlings. And he speaks to us to bring us along to help us. That's the reason Paul is writing. That's the reason we think that we have these things in the Scripture. And so we come down here. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 25, he said in verse number 17, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Against my will, dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And he says here, and every man, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He's making a comparison against the athlete of the day, the one that would participate in the games, and how they compete. They compete for bragging rights, and they compete for the garland, the little crown. It's made out of plant material. That day, or the day before, whenever it was made, is the best it'll ever look, and it'll just be rotten and fading from that point on. And that's what they competed for. The Olympian, the competitor of the day, whether it be in running, or javelin, or discus, or shot put, or hurdles, or high jump, whatever it was, whatever the competitions were. He makes a reference to shadow boxing, to fighting, you know, to boxing or to fighting or to wrestling or whatever it is. They compete for a crown that the best it'll look is the day that they put it on them, and then it'll go away. It's a corruptible crown. He said, but you know what? You and I, the children of God, we've been called to a race. And you know what? We've got to run the race? We've got to run the race according to the rules that our Lord has set down. If you're going to go for mastery in the calling of the Lord, you've got to do it according to the way the Lord has said do it. I'll give you an example as a pastor. I would love for us to have 100 members. And we could change some of our ways And maybe some of our ways need to be changed as far as what we do in ministry, as far as how much or where or whatever. We pray our Lord leads us in those things. But you know what? We could take and twist up the gospel a little bit. We could make a pitch, give gifts, do different things, and we could rev up the numbers. But you know what? We will have not striven lawfully. You hear what I'm saying? And you and I, as the people of God, we're called to obey our Lord honestly and truthfully in what He's given us to do. Not in a way that looks good one to another, but in a way that He's called us to obey Him in. Hear that? We need to be a good witness and example one to another. But you know what? We've got to be self-controlled in what the Lord has given us to do. Every man that striveth for mastery is self-controlled in all. You want to be pleasing to the Lord? You got to have the old man under control. You want to edify the new man? You got to have the old man under control. You want to strive in the ministry and the work of the Lord? You want, as we looked at this morning, you want to be a servant and a minister? You got to let the old man go. You got to forget about the old man, because the old man would rather go off over here and goof off, or lay out over here, or do this or that or the other. So we need to be self-controlled. We need to be self-controlled. We need to have the old man under control. The men of God in Titus are called to be lovers of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. As your pastor, I'm called, and a qualification of being such is to be self-controlled. Self-controlled with you, self-controlled with the world, self-controlled with myself. Obedient to the Lord. Not doing what pleases me, but what pleases the Lord in the ministry. Peter tells us about what to add to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. We're to add to faith knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. We are to be self-controlled. And then we come to that which is the greatest challenge that all of us face, and I think truly it is. The Apostle Paul indicated that it was for him, but he tells us so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we saw about it in Ephesians and Colossians, maybe. I can't remember exactly which passage, but talking about our conversation, we need to have all things under control, even our minds. That's the greatest challenge, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look here. Verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Brother Bobby, what he read this morning, what our Lord Jesus said, you know, if you don't have a sword, sell something, sell a piece of clothing, go get you a sword. You need protection. But we don't need weapons to go on the offensive for the Lord. There is a defense against those that are just generally in society looking to wreak havoc and to steal and to just mess things up. There's another thing where those in authority and others would come after us for what we believe in Christ, and we're to submit to whatever the Lord has for us and be a witness to them. That's something that's not seen today by many. They don't understand the difference between that. But here he says, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We were talking before services. Yes, our president can be saved by the Lord. Our Lord is able. And what do we have to do? Do we seek to do anything physically to wrangle any person into such a thing? No. But we pray to our Lord that He would work. Amen. Our former Secretary of State can be saved by our Lord. Others in our government can be saved by our Lord. Changed. Our Lord, their hearts are in His hand. And He can do whatever he wants to do. And you and I, our job is to be a good witness of Christ to all men, including them as we have opportunity, and to pray that our Lord would be merciful and move. You know, because he can pull those strongholds down. He can pull those strongholds down, can he? Amongst others. But here, how about the stronghold of our heart? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, the imagery even that we have. You know what? Well, we need to bring those things subject to Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that in our hearts and our minds that we would conceive or perceive or know that is against the Lord needs to be brought down. Brought down. See, that's the old man at work, and we need to bring him down even in our hearts and minds. Because what's in there works out, doesn't it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It goes all the way, it goes to the deepest part, doesn't it? And may our Lord help us in it. You know what? If we feed the old mind, we feed the old man, we feed the flesh, that's all we can expect to be going on with us. But if we take that old man and put down what he wants that's against God, and look to use the old man to feed the new man, then we'll be spared a lot of junk and a lot of problems internally, and be able to deal better with temptation and just have those things out of us rather than in us, wrangling with us. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close. See, we're given instruction, aren't we? Old man's thoughts, old man's ways, be brought subject to Christ. Lord, what do you think about me thinking about that? Lord, what do you think about me thinking about doing this? Lord, what do you think about me thinking about these things? Lord, what do you think about me dwelling on bitter things of the past? Lord, what do you think about... See, if the Lord doesn't think any good about it, I need to block it out of my mind. I need to get it out of my mind. Brother Jim, I can't quit thinking about it. I understand that. I listened to a song this past week, just curious about the words of it. Not a song that I would ever listen to, but I listened to a song, and you know what? And it's not a godly song. And I listened to that song, and you know what? Since then, I've been plagued with it. Now, sometimes that happens to you when you go in the grocery store or in the shopping center and you get it. I listened to it on the radio. It came on. I was listening about what the weather was doing and all that. It came on, and so I endured it. And then you know what? Then I got home, and it's plagued me since. It'll take me a few more days or weeks to get past it and get over it. See, and I should have just left it alone. It spoke of nothing good, nothing pleasing to our Lord, a song of the world. But you know what? It got in there and it plagued me. I'll just give you that example. But when I should have been thinking about things of the Lord, or things of the ministry, things to be done, got that thing in my mind. And next thing you know, you're tapping your foot and you're listening to the words in your heart, and it's no good. The people that sang it were no good. Not according to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, we sing this, don't we? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You know what? You can't by sheer will, grit, and determination quit thinking it. You got to displace it. You know what a blessing when I learned that and was taught that by my pastor. It's got to be displaced. You can't will it to not be there, toward just to get pushed out. It's got to be pushed out by something. It's got to be pushed out by the Lord. The things of the Lord. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, do you know of some virtuous thing that's going on here lately? Or maybe the Lord has put on your heart and mind something virtuous to do. If there be any praise unto our Lord, think on these things. So We're given instruction in the full realm of this old man and dealing with him, not only in the physical, not only in the things that we can touch in the world, but also in the things of our heart and mind. A living sacrifice to offer ourselves unto our Lord. Remember, it takes the old man to feed the new. Unless the old man, unless you and I get a handle, if you and I don't get a handle on controlling the old man, the new man will never be fed. The new man will never be encouraged. The new man will never break out and go on and serve the Lord. And you know what? We need to control him even in our hearts and in our thoughts. And it's only by our Lord's power that we can do so.